Welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Andy Caldwell Show here on AM 1440 and AM 1410. My guest is Darla Romfo. She is president of the Children's Scholarship Fund. And Darla, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
What is your role at the Philanthropic Collaborative? Are you president of that too?
No, I'm not. I'm just a participating member of that organization, and I got involved in it because in running a philanthropy, I know the perils of trying to fundraise and trying to show statistical data and proof, even though you know anecdotally, you know what you're doing is a good thing and you know it works. Donors want to see, they want to know that there's actual a measurable result. And this was the first time that anyone had tried to put real numbers showing the macroeconomic benefits of philanthropic giving. So it's a great effort.
Well, I want to talk to you about two things. First off is this Weingart Foundation in L.A. Is taking a turn, so to speak, that most foundations don't go down this road, and that is funding operating expenses in basically overhead and things like that, admin costs, et cetera, and in light of the economic downturn, they realize they're basically changing strategies. What do you think about that?
Well, I applaud it. I mean, that is the hardest money for any foundation to raise. We're very fortunate in that our board of directors puts that operating money up for us so that every dollar a donor gives us can go directly to program costs. But it sure will take a lot of the pressure off of these good folks who are trying to do good philanthropic work to know that their operating expenses are covered. And I really think this is a great thing and a great step forward. And I read the article in the Los Angeles Business Journal, and it was very heartening to read that.
Now, the other article that I want to talk about, and I'm sure you're aware of it, and if not, I can give you a quick rundown. And this appeared in late December in the Wall Street Journal. And it quotes this California Democratic Congressman, Becerra, basically saying that if foundations across America don't spend money the way he and some other congressmen believe it should be spent, they are going to start proceedings to dismantle the tax exemption enjoyed by these foundations, basically saying that we're not trying to mandate anything, but we will if you don't act.
I'm familiar with that article, and I'm familiar with those comments, and they are troubling, and it's another good reason to have this study to respond to it. I'd like to start by responding to that by pointing out that the new president, the day before he took his oath of office, he actually said that while his administration intends to work hard to help Americans in need, don't underestimate the power of people to pull together and to accomplish amazing things. And I think that's kind of contradictory to some of the things that Mr. Becerra said. And certainly government has a responsibility anytime they're giving a benefit to hold the persons who are getting those benefits accountable. And there's a $32 billion tax benefit supposedly that goes to these foundations. But we need to step back for a minute and look at the big economic benefit that comes from this much smaller tax break. And I think you're probably familiar with the figures that are in this study. For every dollar spent, there's an $8.50 return. So it's sort of like, you know, shooting yourself in the foot. You know, you're saying, well, we want to make sure this money gets spent and gets used in the right way. Well, we're showing them a study that says, well, you have to trust that when a dollar of foundation money goes out into the economy, it's bringing back returns beyond anything that you can probably even know.
Well, you know, it's darn hard to get a C3 tax exemption from the IRS. You have to demonstrate a charitable purpose. Now, I'm of the opinion that there are some bogus charities out there. In fact, I know that there's an organization here that just basically sues people in the name of charity. And I think it hurts the economy, and I think it's, you know, violates the Constitution, and somehow they got their C3 status. But that having been said, the vast bulk of foundations are doing great work. But I'll tell you, it just fries me that once again, you got politicians squandering our tax dollars on social programs with bloated federal bureaucracies, whereas these foundations sometimes can be more lean and mean and really ensure there's some accountability that follows their dollars. And I just wish that Becerra would clean up his own house before he would threaten to rob foundations of their tax-exempt status, because if you do, people are going to quit giving.
I agree. I think it is troubling, and I agree with you as well, that foundations have the ability to be nimble and flexible and to respond quickly. And again, I would emphasize that I think the current administration has said and shown that they are very much in favor of philanthropic efforts, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how this actually plays out. Also, I think it's a really bad time in this economy to be talking about limiting people's efforts to give philanthropically, because certainly the people that we help in our charity, we help poor kids have a chance to go to private school, and I know our families more than ever need the help that we give them. And to your point about accountability, there are ways already to look at how a charity's doing. There's something called Charity Navigator, and there's something called GuideStar. If you want to look at where your philanthropic dollars are going when you give to an organization, you can get detailed information, and 990s reveal very clearly how much is spent on program, how much is spent on admin. So these efforts are really, I don't want to say that they're misguided, but I think that there needs to be, let's step back and look at the big picture here. All Americans are so generous, and we don't want to do anything to diminish that, because in addition to what we know happens, the good that happens in this economic study, which is hard data, we know intuitively, I know from 10 years of working in philanthropy, that the good that comes from people helping people is way beyond anything we can ever put a price tag on. And I think it's interesting that our new president, and whatever wherever you stand on a lot of other things that he may talk about, he emphasized public service and sacrifice. And that's needed now more than ever. And I think it's interesting that it's coming from the highest office in the land. So I just think there's a disconnect, I think, between some people even in the Democratic Party. It's not a lot of Republicans that are going after these 501c3s, although there has been some of that, too. It's, not just coming from one place, but mostly coming from one place.
I don't want to put you on the spot to judge his motives, but do you think Becerra is just greedy for the dollars, or do you think some foundations ticked him off because he doesn't think they're living up to their C3 status?
I don't know the precise answer to that, because I don't really know him, and actually when we went around and made visits on Capitol Hill, that wasn't one of the offices I went to visit, and I always want to assume that everyone's intentions are good, so maybe he was ticked off by some rogue operators who misused federal funds or misused their tax exemption, and certainly those things need to be addressed, but I don't think you throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, because I see people working on the front lines of philanthropy, and I know that most people are extremely well-intentioned and sacrificing and trying to do something good. So I think we have to be really careful when we start making it hard for good people to do what they do well.
All right. My guest is Darla Romfo. She is the president of the Children's Scholarship Fund, and she's a member of what's called the Philanthropic Collaborative, which is trying to help make the case for the work that 501c3 foundations do and the good they accomplish. And we're going to be back after we check in with Jeff for traffic and whether you're listening to the Andy Caldwell Show. Welcome back to the show. My guest is Darla Romfo, president of the Children's Scholarship Fund. And Darla, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your fund that you run. And you mentioned that it helps poor kids go to private schools.
Mm-hmm, that's correct. And it's all privately funded. This year we're helping about 29,000 kids across the nation. We have actually nearly 1,000 kids in the LA Unified School District in Anaheim, and actually this next week Mayor Pringle out in Anaheim is going to be introduced by a Children's Scholarship Fund student at his State of the City address, so we're pretty excited about that. And we give scholarships to low-income kids in grades K through 8 to go to private school, so it allows parents, our logo is giving parents a choice and children a chance, and we really applaud a parent's ability to be able to make that choice and do what they think is the right thing for their kids. And in the process, we're also helping this wonderful national treasure, is what President Bush called it, these inner-city schools, many of them faith-based, that have been doing this wonderful work through the decades and really now are in dire financial shape. And so our scholarship's actually in the process of helping these kids. We're also supporting these schools.
What is your web address?
www.scholarshipfund.org.
Now, why is it, and I know that when you're a C3, you don't get political, but I'm going to ask you this question anyway. Why aren't the inner city families and the inner city elected representatives crying out that educational choice is a right, and so that their own tax dollars could be used to give them vouchers for private schools?
Well, I think one thing is what, since I've gotten to know a lot of inner city families, some of them are working two jobs or three jobs, or they're not really having the time to make that connection. And I think there's also like a sense of kind of despair or a sense of it's not going to happen anyway. And what has been exciting for me is to watch it actually happen when a family actually does get the chance to exercise choice. It suddenly a light bulb goes on that maybe I can exercise this right, or you know, use this in another way to take it to the next level where maybe it's possible to have publicly funded choice. And certainly there has been a lot of movement in the direction of charter schools in inner cities, and that's a positive movement in terms of choice. But I think there's a disconnect, and there's only so many resources, and I don't think on this particular issue that people necessarily vote in their own best interests.
It's just amazing to me. I mean, you talk about a basic civil right. The schools in the inner cities are dismal failures. They're underfunded. They're not staffed appropriately. They don't have the right equipment. They can't guarantee the safety of the kids. There's a huge dropout rate. And to me, they should just be shut down, and the private sector should be able to come in and utilize those dollars via vouchers. To me, it's just an abysmal situation, and I'm just shocked that civil rights leaders are not pressing this case, although I hear they're starting to.
They are actually starting to. There's getting to be a, you know, more and more of a groundswell of support. I think actually even Al Sharpton came out in favor of vouchers recently. Definitely came out in favor of charters. I know that. So I do think it's taken time. There is a disconnect. And, you know, I recognize that for most kids are going to get educated in public schools, and I want public schools to be good and to succeed. But somewhere along the way, 10 years ago when I had this opportunity, I saw two men, Teddy Forsman and John Walton, putting their money where their mouth was and getting other people to do it as well. I had an opportunity to help kids have a better life today. And now 10 years later, you're getting letters from people that have been in the program for 10 years, and they say how they changed their lives. And I look at what Obama said. People banding together can make changes. And we just need to, we're not going to change anything in this country unless we get up and make the change, be the change that you want to see in the world. And, you know, those things that you're talking about, it will happen. I believe that. Or I wouldn't, you know, if you didn't believe that, you couldn't get up and go do what you do every day.
How bad's it going to get in this economy? With respect to foundation support, because people are losing money. So in that case, sometimes they don't give when they're losing money. And do the foundations, when the foundations lose money, do they still have to give X percent of their holdings?
They do still have to give, but obviously it's based on a lower corpus in their that they're holding on to. So that foundation giving is definitely going to go down. I think they're, you know, I think what's going to happen is individuals who are already supporting, if you've already got a good base of individual support, those donors are probably continue to support the things that they've already invested in and even step up their support. We've seen that to some extent. It's going to be harder to get new donors, and it's definitely, there's going to be a whole segment of people who lose their jobs and people that give, you know, really are making a sacrifice to give, who now have to, that sacrifice has to go for something else in their lives. There's definitely going to, it's going to have an effect. But there are, like, everybody can give more than they probably think they could, and I'm hopeful. I see all kinds of signs of hope, even in what are dire circumstances. I know a lot of people are experiencing downturns and reduced giving, and, you know, we're sitting pretty good in terms of that right now, so I guess I probably can be a little more hopeful. But I just would encourage anyone that's listening who's thinking about giving or, you know, supporting something already, that now's the time to reach out and do more. Because really, philanthropic giving, it's a great investment. You're getting a great return on your dollar, better than what you're going to get out of any tax dollars, and you can go kick the tires, so to speak.
Well, I do think that, I personally would like to see the government out of all social welfare programs, And I wish that those dollars were basically redirected to foundations and churches, mm-hmm. because I believe the foundations and churches will not skim off as much money for overhead, A, and B, they'll hold the recipients accountable. Whereas, as you well know, the federal and state bureaucrats usually skim off a significant portion for overhead, and then there's no accountability. There's no performance-based budgeting or management going on.
I definitely think the private sector is able to be more efficient for all kinds of reasons. You can see that even in our private scholarships versus the publicly funded scholarships, because once they're regulated, there's all kinds of reporting that has to happen.
Right.
And, you know, I understand that when the government's giving away money, it has to hold people accountable. But like I said, definitely the private sector is more efficient, more nimble, more flexible, can take more risks, can react more quickly. So any chance you have time to speak up for it or to put your money where your mouth is in that direction, I'm with you on that 100%.
All right. Darla, thank you for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care.